Again, want to welcome each one of you here tonight. Thank you for being here. It was a kind of a hot day today, but that's typical, I guess, for August. And we're glad that you're here and able to be with us this evening. It's hard to believe that it's that time of year for our children, our school teachers, to be going back to school and thinking about preparing and going to another school year. And with that thought in mind, I want to share some words and encouragement for the school year. I realize it's not all of us have children, and not all of us are school teachers, but I believe tonight's lesson, maybe each one of us can glean something from it. And we look at some wisdom from God's Word about preparing for the new school year. Because of that, I want to hold my prayer to the end of the service or the lesson and pray for our children and teachers as we begin this school year. I guess it's been about a few weeks now, as seems to be typical, that we have been hearing the ads on TV and in the mailbox about getting your school supplies. And it's possible that many of us have already gone to the stores and been checking off the school supplies list and getting all the things we need, like paper and pencils and crayons and scissors and glues, and the list goes on and on. However, as you think about what's on those lists, those school supply lists, there are some things on that list that every student needs, every teacher needs, every parent, really every person needs. And that's what's found in the pages of God's Word, the Bible. Maybe more now than ever, we need to cling to God's Word and find the wisdom that is within and apply it to our life. It seems that today our young people will face many kinds of difficult challenges, maybe some that you and I as adults did not even face when we were in school. We hear almost every day about the drug problem, about alcohol problems, the cheating in school and the sexual immorality, peer pressure, being bullied, and the list goes on of the terrible things we hear each and every day. But God's Word can help us. He can help us overcome these things. He gives us guidance and teaching and direction on how that we can live in this world despite all the many shortcomings and pitfalls in this life. In fact, as we read through the Bible, we see we're not the only generation that has dealt with problems of sin and evil in our lives. And yet the Bible reminds us that it's relevant today, that it has something to say to us, that God has a word for us, and it can help us not only in the school year, but in our everyday life. So tonight I'd like to talk about this tonight by using some objects to help us illustrate some godly wisdom to make wise choices at school. You know, Jesus would often, throughout the Gospels, use various objects. He would look at the birds of the field, or the lilies, or a number of other objects and make a lesson out of it. So I thought tonight that I would use three objects tonight: a ruler, a pencil, and a sheet of paper. As I think about these objects can do, maybe they can help remind us of these truths we want to look at tonight. First of all, in my hand I hold a ruler. We're all familiar with rulers. They measure things and use in various ways in a school's education. But it boils down that rulers are used to measure things. You know, the Bible is the ruler for our lives. The Bible is our guide. The Bible is like a ruler, that it is the measure, what we are to measure our lives. It's a standard by which we should live by. There's a couple things I want to point out that we should measure and using the Bible to guide us, just like we might use a ruler to measure things. Number one, we need to use the Bible to measure our friends. We need to test who our friends are. It's very important that we choose friends wisely. And this is true not only of children, but also of adults. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Do not fool yourselves, but bad friends will destroy you." Some translation says, "Bad company will corrupt good morals." In regard, the point is that bad associations, bad influence can harm you greatly, even to the point of death. Now, hopefully that will be the extent and some of the association we may have. But we do need to be cautious and be reminded that the bad company can influence us and definitely get one into trouble. In Proverbs chapter 1, the passage that was read really gives a good illustration of what the problem is when you find yourself with bad company. Notice in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, Solomon is talking to his son. And he says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Meaning, do not be pressured into the things that they may entice you and try to get you to do and tempt you to do. He goes on and explains that if they say, "Come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive in Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse." And so they're tempting the young man. And so this is a classic example of peer pressure. We might also call it the gang mentality. And so the Bible warns us that we need to guard against those people we associate, we might call friends, that would do harm to others or even to ourselves. Benjamin Franklin once said, "He that lieth down with dogs shall rise up with fleas." It goes on to say, if you don't want fleas, then don't lie down or play with dogs that have them. Well, that makes sense. That's a common sense, we might say. But the point of it is, if you do not want to be influenced by bad behavior, whether that's lying or cheating or stealing or a number of other things, don't go around the people that do those, that glory in those things, that celebrate those things. Avoid them. And that's exactly what the Proverbs is telling us, as 1 Corinthians 15, 33 is telling us. And so the challenge is, as we enter into the school year, try to guard against who you might choose as friends. Because there are those people in our world that will try to pressure us to use alcohol, to influence us to have sexual relations, to smoke and use drugs and all types of things. And so just as destructive as we see the influence of bad friends, so these things can be able to harm us as well. And so we need to guard against those things. Well, how do we know who our friends can be? Well, it's measured by the Bible. The Bible reminds us of a standard and calls sin, sin, and reminds us what sin is and what it is not. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it gives a list of sins. And it really clearly tells us what sin is, but there's another list as well. As you read down in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, we see it lists the fruit of the Spirit. Those things that God takes pride in and wants us to have in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These things are what measure us as an individual, as a spiritual person. But these are also qualities we should look for in one another to encourage us in their spiritual walk. The Bible is our measure. The Bible is our ruler. But second, it not only should guide us in regards to our friends, but the Bible teaches us how to measure our time. Measure our time. I find it astonishing that, according to one statistic, the average American spends 94 hours per month on social networks, phones, emails, electronics type things. Now, true, some of this may have to do with work, and some of it may have to do with school in regards to research, but we need to ask ourselves, is everything we do and spending that much time important? Well, definitely school, when it comes to schoolwork, definitely helps us to learn time management, trains us and teaches us in that regard, but even then, will it help us spend our time wisely? Again, the Bible is our ruler. It is our guidance on how to spend our time. Notice some of these verses and what it says and teaches us in regard to spending our time wisely. In Psalms 90 and verse 12, it says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And then Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then James 4, verse 14. Why do you not even know that will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Notice what these scriptures are teaching us. It's teaching us to measure our time, to realize how valuable our time is. I realize, being young, that it seems like we have all the time in the world. But the Bible is very clear that we need to be very careful how we live, how we use our time, because our time is very precious. It's something that when we spend it, we don't get it back. And so we have all this time that God has blessed us with. We must use it wisely. Well, how can we use our time wisely? How can we use our time in such a way that gives honor to God? Well, first of all, we need to make God our number one priority. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Put God first. Before we wake up in the morning, put God first. As we begin our week, come to worship in the Lord's Day and put God first in your week. Put God first in every aspect of your life. It is amazing that you will see that you have time for everything that is important to do when you put God first. But number two, how can we measure our time? We need to prioritize our lives, the things in our lives. Jesus told his disciples to be as wise as serpents. Well, how can we use that to become wise? Well, we need to realize what our priorities are. Well, how do you do that? Well, number one, we pray. We spend time in prayer thinking about those things that the Bible would have us to do. Pray about them. Pray for God's guidance. James 1 and 5 reminds us to ask for wisdom. And so we pray that God will help us to realize as we read his word and in our time in prayer that what's really important in life. But then we also need to seek wise counsel. You know, number two, when we think about what is really important, we need to be trained. Because if we're left up to ourselves, sometimes the things we do aren't really all that important. So we need to listen to those wise counsel. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a school teacher. Maybe it's someone older or wiser that can help us realize what's really important. But number three, plan. You know, one way to put priorities in our life is we need to plan and organize and be able to put first things first. And then we need to see what is important out of our plan, and then number four, act upon those. Do them. If we plan something and we see that it's important, then follow through with it. These are some ways we can be able to help put God first in our time. But number three, there's something else we need to measure. Really, it's everything. Everything else needs to be measured by the standard of the Bible. Whether it's talking about religiously or the way we go about our everyday life, we need to use the Bible as our measure. We need to use it as to test everything. 1 John 4 and verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." And then 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, "But test everything, hold fast out of what is good." Everything that's out in our world is not always good for us. Everything that seems to be spiritual or when someone is spouting something about God doesn't necessarily mean it's of God. We need to test everything. The Bible is our ruler. Notice in Psalms 109, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a lamp unto my path." That means God's word helps us. It directs us. It helps us understand. In other words, God's word is like a ruler. It's the measuring rod. It's the standard by which we are to live. Not just our time, just not our friends, but every aspect of our life. But number two, I have another object, the pencil. The pencil is probably one of the most common school items that we come across. Someone has come up with the following poem entitled "The Pencil Maker," and it goes this way. The pencil maker took the pencil aside, just putting him into the box. "There are five things you need to know," he told the pencil, "before I send you out into the world. Always remember them. Never forget. and you'll become the best pencil you can be. Number one, you'll be able to do many great things, but only if you allow yourself to be held in someone's hand. Number two, you will experience a painful sharpening every time, from time to time, but you'll need to become a better pencil. Number three, you will be able to correct mistakes you will make. And number four, the most important part of you will always be what's inside. And number five, on every surface you are used on, you must leave your mark. No matter what the conditions, you must continue to write. And then number six, the pencil understood and promised to remember that that until the box, until he went into the box with purpose in his heart. Well, like the pencil, there is a purpose. Pencils aren't just made to look at. They're not just made to put in a box. They're not made to put on your desk, or they have a purpose. They have a reason for existence. They're a tool to help you in your schoolwork, to help you in writing and doing your assignments. Well, we too have a purpose. We as individuals, as people, have purpose. Psalms 139, verse 14 says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We see from the beginning of time that God created a man and woman with purpose, made in the image of God. The psalmist reminds us in this verse here that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. We have purpose. We have meaning. And then Ephesians 2 and verse 10 reminds us that because we are made an image of God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Notice what it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As the pencil has purpose, so does each one of us. Each one of us have value. We have a reason for being here. God desired for us to be here, and so he created mankind so that we could be able to use and be used according to his purposes. Oftentimes, we get tied up and discouraged in this life, and we may even ask what our purpose is. But the Bible reminds us what our purpose is. We have the glory in God, to do his good works, to be able to do the things that he has instructed us to do. Now, I realize that as you think about this purpose, unlike a pencil, we have a choice. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua is standing there before the Israelites, and he challenged them and says, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He reminds the Israelites that they have a choice. They can serve the evil idols of their forefathers, or they can serve the Lord. And in a similar way, we have a choice. God, when we choose him, gives us a wonderful purpose with meaning and direction in life. But if we reject that purpose, we will be questioning our purpose and we won't be blessed, and it won't be a good experience. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5 through 8, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Again, notice the blessing of trusting in God and fulfilling his purposes. When we put our trust in God, he will give us the purpose of our life, and we will be a blessing. And only in Christ will we be able to have that purpose. Number three, the next item I have is a white piece of paper. A white, brilliant, colorless piece of paper. White is And as we read through the Bible, we see that white is the color that's mentioned most in Scripture. In Matthew 17 and verse 2, we see that our Lord at his transfiguration appeared in a remnant of white as light. And then we see in Psalms 51 and verse 7 that David said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Also, wool is used as well in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, making reference to whiteness and purity. Jude 24 reminds us that Jesus takes away our sin problem and presents us perfect. Well, as we think about the white piece of paper, this is an example of what Jesus does for us. As we think about our life, our spiritual life, we need to be reminded that the blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us from all sins. that sin is represented as darkness, as contrary to the will of God. But as we think about what Jesus' blood does, it cleanses us and makes us whole. Isaiah 1 and verse 18 has this to say, "Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If we are willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." As we read this passage, we're reminded that what God does to our sin, he takes them away, and he makes us white as snow. That's an illustration through Scripture. As we think about what Jesus Christ came to do, he came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, to be raised from the grave so that we can be able to have that forgiveness of sins and that sin taken away. Once we become a Christian by confessing Jesus as Lord and put him on in baptism, our sins are washed away. But notice in 1 John 1 and 7 that when we become a Christian and have that power of Jesus' cleansing blood, notice what it says. But if we live in the light in the same way that God is a light, we have relationship with each other, and the blood of his Son, Jesus, cleanses us from every sin. The Bible reminds us that we need to continue to walk, continue to live in Jesus. That just because we were baptized, that's not the end. It's a new beginning, a new direction. And as we continue to be faithful unto Jesus, as we continue to walk in the light, to live in the light, in fellowship with God and with one another, our sins will continue to be cleansed. We continue to be white, white as snow. The Bible reminds us in Mark 16 and 16 that in order to experience the cleansing power of Jesus, we must believe that he is the Son of God and be put baptized, and we will be saved. You know, this is the one decision that will affect the whole of our life. And this is the one decision that will make a difference as we go through this school year and as we go through the rest of our life. And although it will not take away our problems, becoming a Christian helps us to deal with our problems. It will help us to be able to overcome temptations and trials. It will give us a support system by having a church family that loves us and encourages us. And it will help us in our journey in this world to have a focus and direction of heaven. Well, I hope that this year will be a blessing to each one of you. And I hope that as you think about tonight's lesson, and as you come across a ruler, as you come across a pencil, as you come across a piece of paper, you'll be reminded that you are special. God has a purpose for your life. At this time, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this time to meditate and think about and study and be encouraged by your word as the students and teachers and parents and grandparents prepare and begin a new school year. And Father, we pray that you can help us to put our faith and allegiance and obedience in you every day of our life, that we take the words that we have been directed to and that we can apply it to our life. And that, Father, we pray for these children. We lift them up to you and entrust them to your care. We know that they will encounter many trials and many situations, but, Father, we pray that they will have strong faith and that they will be able to overcome and that they will not be swayed by the evils of sin. Father, we pray that they will find good friends that will help them in their spiritual walk and help them draw closer to you. We pray that we'll each manage our time and use it accordingly, and that they'll test the things that come along and use your scriptures. Father, we pray that we will find our purpose and know that you give us purpose, that you love us, and that doing your work and your will helps us to fulfill that purpose and helps us to have meaning in life. And Father, we pray for those who are never committed their lives to your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that maybe even tonight that they will repent of their sins and confess your Son's name and put him on in baptism so they can be white as snow. And we pray for each that maybe have done that, but Father, maybe we have struggles and trials. We pray that we can continue to walk in fellowship. We confess our sins and continue to experience the powerful cleansing of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for our children. We thank you for those who work with them. Father, we thank you for the parents, and we thank you for this congregation which values our children, and we pray that we'll continue to encourage them and be a blessing to them as we go through this school year and as we go through the remainder of this life, as long as you give us breath upon this earth. Thank you so much for your prayer, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. The invitation has been given as we have talked about the power of Jesus and his cleansing blood. And so it may be that you're here tonight, you like to respond. We invite you to do so as we stand and as we sing.